Luke chapter 5. Say amen if you're there. All right, in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And bow your heads with me, if you would. Lord Jesus, we ask you, O God, to give us the words to speak, the words that you'd have us to speak, Lord, and let your word not return to your void. We ask you, O Lord, to give us in this lesson tonight what you'd have us to learn, that we would glean from your word tonight what you'd have us to glean. In your name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. I like that in the first, right away, in the very first scripture. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. I mean, they were excited. They wanted to hear the word of God. And how'd they know they were going to hear the word of God? How did these people figure out that, hey, I'm going to hear the word of God today? And they were so excited about it. All right. Thank you. You're a good man. But they were excited about hearing the word of God. Just the way we're excited, right? Well, it's a tough crowd tonight. I don't care who you are. Man. But we're excited. I know. Well, I get excited about the word. I get to reading it. It's like when I go to studying for something, sometimes I forget all about what I started out studying for because I get so excited about reading and I get so interested. I keep on reading. Then I read over here. Then I read over there. And then I said, well, wait a minute. What was I reading about? What did I start out studying about? But I get so interested. I love reading the Word. I think it's one of the greatest things. I love to read the Word of God. And I like to learn of the Word of God. So here we are. These people were excited because they wanted to hear so bad. They began to press him. They pressed upon him to hear the Word of God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, do you know as he's standing by the lake, people pressing on him, do you know what it's like for people to be pressing against you? Do you know what that means? People coming in closer and closer and closer and closer. And closer, and you're stepping back. And the more you step back, the closer they step. And pretty soon, he's at the water's edge. So he's looking around. And he saw two ships. Two ships. Standing by the lake. There they were. Two boats. So, but the fishermen were gone out of them. And they were washing their nets. They was over here. They were doing something. They weren't just washing their nets for fun, because I'm going to tell you, have y'all ever seen fishing nets, real fishing nets? I mean, I'm talking about the nets these people get, these big, heavy nets. Well, I used to have a commercial fishing license. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't want you to think I went commercial fishing. That's a lot of work. Just because I had a commercial fishing license didn't mean I went fishing. Because my license called for gill nets. And if you can find something harder to handle than a bunch of gill nets, big old heavy wet gill nets, then, well, I didn't do it. Let's just say I had the license, I just didn't use them. Because that was a lot of work. These people were washing their nets. And that wasn't easy work, washing their nets. It's hard enough throwing your nets out in the water and pulling them back in. But these folks are over here washing their nets. Why would they wash their nets? Why would folks want to wash their nets? Well, yeah, they wanted to use them again. Well, you watch out, bro. Okay. All right, we got you. They were washing their nets because they wanted to use them again. It said they were no longer fishing. They were done fishing. But they still had duties to attend to. Now, not everybody gets to do the teaching and the preaching or the singing and the playing. Not everybody gets to do that. And we all get the opportunity to worship. And it's a good thing that we do because, you know, that's how we really get to know Him. See, God inhabits the praises of His people. We begin to praise Him and begin to worship. And He comes into our lives and He just begins to fill us. And the Spirit gets to move. And you know, we can get excited. These people were excited about hearing about the Word, hearing the Word. But, you know, there was other things that people had to do. In this church today, there's things people have to do so that we can come and hear the Word. We heard Him talk about earlier the state of our finances a little bit. He mentioned on that a little bit how at first of the year they weren't real good, but they weren't real bad, but they needed to be better and improved upon. And now they are. And that's a good thing because now, see, because they are better, we can pay our light bill. And because we can pay our light bill, I don't have to stand here and hold a flashlight to read the Word. The lights are on. Somebody had to come and clean the church. And they did do that. They came and they cleaned the church. You say, well, they don't really have to. Well, no. I don't suppose they do. I've stepped in a few churches that you didn't want to get down on the floor too much. You know what I'm saying? You just didn't want to. But somebody came in and made it so, hey, you know, if we wanted to kneel down before our God, we didn't worry about rolling in things that shouldn't have been there. Because somebody came and they cleaned the church. They had things they had to get done. You know, they had service last weekend, and they came back and they did some cleaning behind that. I'm going to tell you, sometimes people got to take care of their tools. You know, folks take care of their tools. We got any mechanics in here? Anybody that works on cars? No. All right. Well, not everybody can afford to go take it to the garage. I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot cheaper to go buy your Chilton's manual and look in there and read that and see what kind of tools you need. Let me tell you, when there was a time when that's the only way I could worry about getting the car fixed, I had to get me a Chilton's manual. And I was just dumb enough that I didn't know. I figured if the guy that wrote that book knew a whole lot more than I did, so if I did what he said, I couldn't help but fix it. And I fixed a lot of cars doing that. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to know those things. But I got that, and I ended up buying tools, and I took care of those tools. There was a time when I was a painter. I made my living as a journeyman painter. I did a lot of painting. I did a lot of taping and bedding. I did those types of things, but I had to take care of my tools if I wanted to use them again. And that's what they were doing. They were cleaning their tools. Here we take care of things so that we can come back and use the place again. You know what a soldier does with his weapons? He cleans them. Now, we go out on firing range when I was in the military, and we'd fire our rifles. We'd sight them in. We had to qualify with them. Wasn't just the rifles, it was the machine guns, it was the bazooka. I fired it once and I quit. They told me I couldn't do that. I said, oh yeah, I can, and I did. I never picked it up again. I refused to. Got in serious trouble over that. But I never did pick one up again. That's called an M90 recoilless rifle, by the way. And all I knew about that thing was it was loud. And it would hurt you if you didn't handle it just right. And I didn't handle it just right. And it hurt me. But I never fired it again. I refused to do that. And so anyway, these people had things they had to do in order to reuse their nets. If you don't clean your nets after fishing, they tend to rot. If you let them sun dry, they'll rot. There's things that get on the nets from the water. Now, salt water will do it quicker, but even fresh water, and they were at Lake Gennesaret, and that was fresh water. That wasn't salt water. Saul wasn't eating up the ropes that the nets were made out of. Saul wasn't eating those up. But there were things in that fresh water that if they left it on there, it would rot. And you could sun dry it, and the sun eventually would. You ever leave something out in Texas? People say plastic won't break down for hundreds of years. They've never lived in Texas in the summertime. You throw you a plastic bag out in the yard in June, come July, you won't find any trace of that. The sun will eat that smooth up. I don't care what you say. It's gone. Yeah, in Texas, we got some serious sun. And that's what would have happened here if they hadn't cleaned their nets, if they hadn't taken care of their tools, if they hadn't taken care of what they needed to do. Now, as a painter, I not only had to clean my tools if I wanted to use it again. People would say, whoa, you spent that much money on a paintbrush? Well, I'll just go and buy me some disposable brushes. Well, you do that. Go ahead and buy your disposable brushes. That's what a lot of people do. They use disposable brushes because they don't know how to paint. Then I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just saying you don't know what you're doing. If you're using disposable brushes, you don't know what you're doing when it comes to painting. You just don't. You not only have to have the right tool, but you have to put the right tool in the right kind of paint. And when you're done with it, you not only have to take it out of the paint and clean it, but you have to use the right cleaning agent. And if you don't, you're still going to ruin the brush. I did that. That's how I learned. Years and years and years ago, when you have a little old brush you pay $40 or $50 for a little old paintbrush, and you put it in the wrong cleaning agent, ruin it, and have to go buy another one just like it, you learn very, very fast what agents to use to clean them with. That's what you do. So they were cleaning their nets. They didn't want to ruin their tools. They had to take care of business. They wanted to reuse them. They were fishermen. When Jesus was there, and he said they saw two ships standing by a lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. One of them belonged to Simon. Did everybody know who Simon was? He was Peter. And he prayed to him. He said, hey, Peter, come here. Hey, Simon, come over here. That he would thrust out a little from land, said, come on over here and get in this boat. Let's give me a... Now, Simon had to leave off washing his nets, and he wasn't done. He's like, well, I got this I got to do. I'm going to tell you, if I left the paintbrush too long in the sun without cleaning it, I had to throw it away. You weren't going to clean it after that. If it was left too long without cleaning, you just weren't going to clean it. Well, Simon had to leave off cleaning the net, and he went over there and said, all right, and he cast out a little bit from the land. And Jesus sat down, see, and he taught the people out of the ship, because now they couldn't press up against him. Well, some of them might have got out in water a little bit, but most fishermen, and that's what a lot of those folks around there were fishermen, most fishermen can't swim. Spend a lifetime in a boat and can't swim. Just the way it is. I don't know why that is, but you ask them. People live on the lake, live next to the lake, they can't swim. People live 1,000 miles from water, they can swim good. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. He got done. The Lord's done. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, let down your nets for a draft. I'm gonna tell you, when folks start talking about going and getting a draft today, they're not talking about a draft of fish. But they let down their nets for a draft of fish. Now, you got to understand, this is the time of day, and we're getting exactly where we want to be in just a few minutes. If you want to put a name to it, that's what he was trying to ask me a while ago. You could call this the net washers. If you wanted to put a name to it, you could call this the net washers. These guys were net washers. they had things they needed to get done. But anyway, it was too late to go fishing. Anybody here, I know folks around here go fishing, and go fishing quite often. I've done it. I take my rod and reel out. I've had a boat, and I used to go out in my boat all the time. I go out a certain time of day. And there's certain times you go out to go fishing, certain baits you use at certain times of day. You don't use the same bait for every time of day. But I had a guy tell me one time, and I was very young then, and I didn't know any better, so I believed him. So I quit fishing at nighttime for a long time. Somebody told me the truth and told me he was just fooling with me. But said, don't go at night because they can't see. The fish can't see. No, they can't see. They can't see to bite. Can't see to eat. So they don't eat at nighttime. So, okay, so I quit fishing at nighttime. Well, I got thinking about that. Up until that point, I got the best fishing done at night. I got caught more fish at night than I did in daytime. One, the water wasn't too hot. And they couldn't see shadows. You know, unless the moon was very bright, they wouldn't see my shadow. So they wouldn't run off. I didn't know that. I was dumb enough to believe the old guy. He was messing with me. But they can. They will eat at nighttime. So the time for fishing was past. He said, I want you to go ahead and go out into the deep now. Now, he not only sending them at the wrong time, but he's sending them to the wrong place. He's telling the fishermen how to go fishing. When I was a painter, if you want me to paint something, you come and say, I want you to go paint that. The wall, the door, whatever the surface was, you tell me to go paint it, go put the covering on it, but don't tell me how to do it. Unless you're a painter. You know? But now, most of the contractors weren't painters. The subcontractors were the painters. And so they come to me and they say, I need you to paint over here. When I get the blueprints out, and I look, see what the blueprints call for. And I said, well, this is metal, so this is going to take a certain kind of paint. It says this color. And it tells you exactly what to use with blueprints. So you go get that. I have actually come across blueprints that were wrong. Architects are supposed to know what they're doing when they make up blueprints, when they make them. They don't always know that. Well, I would go and look at it, and if the blueprints were right, that's what I'd use. If it wasn't, I'd go back to the contractor and say, this is not going to work. This is calling for an epoxy, and you don't want to put an epoxy on here. Or this is calling for a latex, and you simply cannot cover this with a latex. You know, it just depends. Well, here's the Lord telling Peter, go out into the deep. He's telling him it's the wrong time of day. Go fishing. Go out into the deep. He's telling him to go to the wrong place. Go over here and let your net down. And Peter said, we've already fished all night and we hadn't taken a thing. Fishing time is over, but nevertheless, at your word. Whew, at your word, we'll go do this. And you know, that's exactly what Peter did. He, you know, Samuel said to Saul, anybody remember what Samuel said to Saul? After Saul got himself in trouble, King Saul, if you will, got himself in trouble. And Saul said, well, look here, the only reason I didn't kill all these people and kill all the cattle and stuff, I was going to use them to offer sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel told him, said, obedience, way better than sacrifice. He said, Lord prefers obedience rather than sacrifice. Now, Jesus told Peter, he said, go out here at the wrong time of day and go to the wrong place and go fishing. Peter said, okay, I'm going to be obedient. And you know what happened, right? You remember what happened? Remember hearing this story before? They went out there, threw the nets down in the water, and they're so heavy, the nets begin to break. These nets were so heavy, they couldn't pull them up by themselves. They had to get help. They said, hey, Andrew, y'all come on over here. Help us pick these nets up. We got to get these fishing. My net's breaking. Throw your net out here by and help pick your nets up. And they all pulling on the nets, and they got the nets picked up. Wrong time of day, the wrong place, but they were obedient to the word. They were obedient to what the Lord told them to do. And Simon answered, said, and Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto the partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships. They filled them both, so that they began to sink. Now, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm going to put that many fish in my boat, and I can't swim. Now, how do I know Peter can't swim? Or Simon? Remember reading the part about what Jesus was walking on the water in the storm and he would have passed him by, but they cried out? And Peter said to him, well, Lord, if it's really you, Jesus said, well, don't fear, it's me. It's me. He said, but if it's really you, because they supposed it to be a spirit, is what it said. He said, if it's really you, bid me come. He said, well, come. Come on then. Well, Peter didn't think twice. He jumped out on top of that water and started walking towards him. And then he started thinking, whoo. Sometimes it's better for us not to give it any thought. Just be obedient, huh? You start thinking about we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Every time I go to think, somebody told me once, I don't pay you to think. Well, maybe you don't. Because it seems like every time I go to thinking, I get in trouble. I make the wrong decisions. And I did that a lot. Peter began to think about it. And the more he thought, the more he sunk. If you think, you'll sink. Lord, that nugget. Peter couldn't swim. That's how I knew he couldn't swim. He started sinking. You know, if he could swim, he wouldn't have worried about it. He said, well, I'll just swim the rest of the way. No. He started sinking. He was finna drown. He said, Lord, help me. He reached out to him. Lord picked him up. Yeah. After Jesus separated himself from the crowd, he was able to be effective. You ever think about that? Why are we asked to come out from among them and be ye separate? Why? Not very effective if you're in the crowd, if you're with the bunch and you act just like them, look just like them, smell just like them, spit just like them. Come on now. I'm just being straight up honest. Y'all know that. How effective are we if we're witnesses to somebody and trying to tell them they need Jesus and we're more like them than they are? How can you be more like somebody than they are? Ooh, boy, I'm telling you. It's kind of tough now. The Hebrew children did that all the time, didn't they? Boy, that's the kind of problems they got into all the time. Even after they got into the promised land, they were still getting off into it. Before, during, and after. They were always getting in trouble. Why? Because they didn't want to be different. They didn't want to be different at all. Man. Why didn't they want to be different? They didn't want to stand out. Somebody told me one time, I believe it was my drill instructor, he told me, he said, you don't have to stand out, but you better be outstanding. It took me almost a full 6 weeks to figure out what he was talking about. But there is a difference. I had to be outstanding. I didn't always want to stand out. You didn't want to stand out if you were in basic training. I'm going to tell you that right now. When I was in basic training, you could be a standout or a dying cockroach. Don't anybody know what a dying cockroach is? That's that fool that's sitting over there yelling, screaming at the top of his lungs with his feet, hands and feet in the air, laying on his back saying, I'm a dying cockroach, I'm a dying cockroach. And if anybody laughs, they get to go be right behind and say, me too, me too. Yeah, I've been there. I got to do that. But you know, you can be outstanding. But the Lord wanted more than just outstanding. The Lord wanted us to stand out. People say, well, we all worship the same God, so don't worry about it. Why, if we worship the same God, do you call him by a different name? Why, if we worship the same God, are you ashamed of it? So I'm not. Well, maybe you're not. But I know people that are. I know people that are ashamed of the name of Jesus. And you find more people ashamed of the name of Jesus living their life in church than you will living the life of sinners. Sinners aren't ashamed of it. They say it. They're not ashamed to say the name of Jesus. They're not ashamed to call on the people of the name of Jesus when they need prayer because they know that's where to go. Think about that. You want to know where to go? Follow the sinner. When you need prayer, follow the sinner, man. He knows where to go to get prayer. He knows where God's going to answer prayer and where God's not going to answer prayer. You know where he's going to go? He's going to go to the people of name. He's going to go to where people aren't ashamed of Jesus. I was driving through a town in Kentucky. I don't even remember the name of the town. But I looked up and I read the name of the church as I was driving by. I laughed so hard, I nearly wrecked the truck. It was funny. It was the Second Baptist Church. I never heard of Second Baptist. Every town had First Baptist. There wasn't a town I went through that didn't have a First Baptist. I only went through one that had Second Baptist. And I, to this day, I wish I could remember the name of that town. But that was funny. I don't care who you are. That was, they weren't ashamed to be called a Baptist. I went to South Bend, Indiana, and I knew of two churches there in South Bend. And I wanted to go to church. We were there on vacation, my wife and I, and I wanted to go to church real bad. And I knew of two churches, but I couldn't remember exactly how to get there. I knew one of them was on Michigan Avenue there in South Bend, Indiana. I had spent my teen years there. Had been to that church a couple of times. My wife had gone to another church on the other side of town, but I couldn't remember how to get to that one. So, well, that's not a problem. If you look in the Yellow Pages, you can find the address, right? No, they took the name out. They're ashamed of it. I couldn't put it any other way. Maybe they weren't ashamed of it, but sure appeared that way. You couldn't find a United Pentecost Church in South Bend, Indiana by looking in the phone book. You couldn't do it. I found the nearest one I found about 60 miles away, and I knew there was a bunch of churches in between, but I didn't know which one was what. Man, they had all kinds of New Living Tabernacles. New Life Family Centers, they had a bunch of them. Oh, man. But I couldn't find one United Pentecostal Church in the Yellow Pages from South Bend, Indiana. Not one. I ended up going to church in Niles, Michigan. There was one that wasn't ashamed of the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. Think about it. Think about that. People didn't want to be. They didn't want to be different. Sometimes we find ourselves not wanting to be different. And I'm not saying, you know, a lot of times it's a show for people. Don't get me wrong. I know there's people that put on a show just to be different. Oh, look at me. I'm so different. Look at me. I do this and I do that. Look at the way I dress. Look at this and that. I'm so different. I got to be holy. Man, I better be careful now. Yeah, I used to preach like that a long time ago. Then I got saved. That's right. You know how many years I went to church before I got saved? It was a lot. I'd stand there and tell you all sorts of ways to dress, act, talk. I couldn't live it. And then one day I got saved too. And I realized, you know what, the Holy Ghost does all that. I don't have to worry about it. Holy Ghost moved me. Holy Ghost saved people. Let the Holy Ghost do that. You know, I don't have to put on an act anymore. It's a good thing. I never was very good at it. I wasn't very good at it at all. Yeah, but you know, people tell me, It doesn't matter. I worship the same God you do. You know, we're going to the same place. We're just picking different routes. What Jesus said, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man come to the Father but by me. Find a different way than that, and you'd be wrong. Nobody here doing that, is it? Everybody here knows the truth. They know the way. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm the door. You want to get there? You got to come through me. Ooh. Somebody told me, said, well, read this scripture. And I read the scripture and he said, now, if I didn't know the word, I would have been easily confused by this. But I knew the word and I understood. But I read the scripture he had me reading. You're talking about when Paul and Silas were in jail. Remember when they went to jail and they sang at midnight? They began to sing. They didn't even sing before midnight. Why didn't they wait till midnight to start singing? They started singing. Man, I'm telling you what, they sang the walls down. They didn't even start church till midnight. They were in the prison. And it said, and see, the magistrates had told the judge, said, you make sure nothing happens to these fellas. Now, I don't know if he meant that in a good way or a bad way, but that jailer, he wasn't taking any chances. He said, he took them to the innermost part of the prison and stuck them off in there. So ain't nobody get to them now. They can't get out. Nobody can get in. Well, he wasn't counting on the glory of the Lord. When they started praying and singing, they began singing praises. That's what it said they were doing. Singing. They started church at midnight. We started church at 7. Well, come midnight, everyone will be sound asleep, won't we? Well, try this. Set your alarm for midnight and start praising the Lord. See what happens. Yeah. Come on now, I'm talking about it. It ain't going to hurt you. You got the tools. Keep your tools cleaned up, honed up, sharpened up. You ever try to cut grass with a mower and a dull blade? You can beat that grass down, you ain't going to cut it right. Be sticking up all over the place, all crooked. Keep it sharpened up. Paul and Silas began singing, and then the walls come tumbling down. I mean, they said it was like an earthquake. Shook the walls of the jail. They were singing and praising God, and they didn't even realize what was happening. Boy, the walls came down. That jailer scared to death. Oh, no, now what I do? He grabbed his sword. He wasn't going after nobody. What was he going to do? Anybody remember? He was going to kill himself. Because he knew, you know what happened if those guys got away? He was responsible. He was going to have to die. His life was going to be taken for theirs. And he knew it. They got away. Oh, it doesn't matter that an earthquake came and opened his cell doors, but they got away. I'm going to have to die. So he got a family, but he doesn't care. He knows he got to die just soon, get it over with, because he knows it won't be near as bad if he does it himself. They're liable to torture him, this poor jailer. Paul jumped out there and said, whoa, 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 don't do any harm to yourself. Don't do any harm to yourself. He said, we're all here. Now, nobody's missing. Not one soul. We're all here. And do you know what? All the people, not all of them are Christians. I mean, they might have some bad folks in there. But these folks were listening to Paul and Silas singing and praising God. And Paul and Silas started singing praise to God, and things started happening. When you start singing and praise to God, things will start happening in your life. You're going to be a little bit different. Yeah, just a little bit different. So they all say, hey, let's stay and see what's going on with these fellas. And that jailer said, well, look, if y'all said, what must I do to be saved? Because that's what they were in jail for, telling people how to be saved. Can you believe that? Man. The jailer said, I know you got something going on. So what can I do to be saved? Paul said, now listen, here's what the scriptures tell us Paul said. Somebody pointed that out to me one time, but I already knew what it was talking about. I read the scriptures before. I read the scriptures after. So I was not confused. I was not deceived into a false doctrine. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. That's what Paul told the jailer. And straightway the jailer took him and washed his stripes. That's what it tells. Straightway the jailer took him and washed his stripes. He took him and cleaned him up. And he was baptized that very hour. You ever read the scripture? Oh, you believe on the Lord as the scriptures have said? As the scriptures have said. That's right. And now, if that's not enough to convince you, just a little later, the very next verse, it starts talking about, and he was baptized in all his house. Now, some people use that to say, well, that means we can do infant baptism. The infants didn't have a clue what Paul was talking about. They didn't have a clue of what Paul told them and how to be saved. So they weren't baptized. Those that heard understood what Paul was talking about. Those were baptized. And it goes on to tell us that they believed, those that heard the word believed and were baptized, they believed because they believed on the Lord God. Wait a minute. Paul didn't say believe on the Lord God. He said believe on the Son. He said, believe. He said, when the guy asked him, said, how am I going to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thou house. Now, that's a pretty good scripture. The guy had tried to convince me that there were three gods to that scripture. I said, well, I only see two that you're talking about. You still can't add. As a fella, you still can't add. You're talking about two and saying there's three. But I happen to know the truth about that because I went on to read the rest of it. Did you know that all the fullness of the Godhead rests in Jesus, dwells in Jesus bodily? The same Paul that told the jailer that wrote that. Saying, yeah, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ bodily. All of it. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. There's nothing to be confused about. I don't know how I got on this part. That wasn't part of this. That really wasn't part of this. And I'm not trying to confuse anybody. I'm just telling you straight up, somebody in here needed this tonight. I don't know why. Somebody needed this portion of it. I don't know why. I don't know who. There is one God. There's one Father of all. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God, one faith, one baptism. That's what the scriptures tell us. Yeah, we're a little different. Somebody was talking to me this past weekend. Kind of bothered me. No, it wasn't this past weekend. It was the weekend before. They started talking about Jesus only. And this girl was talking about, well, I went to this Jesus name church and they baptized me in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, they sure did. But they didn't say that. I knew what his name was. I know the church he was baptized in. And I know how they baptized. And they won't compromise it. So, but she calls them Jesus only. I said, what are you calling them Jesus only for? Well, that's all they believe in is Jesus. No, they believe truth. They believe what Jesus said. They believe that Jesus said. And I began to think about the scriptures in John 14. As they were talking about this Jesus only thing. I began to thinking about what John had written. What Jesus had said that John had written down about. I will pray the Father. Now Jesus talking about I'm going to pray the Father. that he will send you a comforter after I'm gone. Said later, and it says, and they understood that he was talking about the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus went on to say, now he's already said, I will pray the Father that he will send you a comforter after I'm gone. Then he said, you know what? I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. And then he goes on to say that the comforter Jesus spoke of was the Holy Ghost. Jesus claimed to be that Holy Ghost. I'm the one. I'm going to come to you. So it's good for you that I'm with you now, but it's more expedient for you to go, because if I don't go away, I can't come back to you and be your comforter. I have to go away. Now, again, I don't know why we got here, how we got here to where we're at. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. But I do know that when they launched out, they had a direction to go. And we might not think it's the right time. Sometimes, you know, I'm looking at my notes, I'm saying, well, this isn't the right time to do this. This is the time to talk about this. That's the way I put it in my notes. But, you know, I launched out into the deep, if you will. Just like the note said. And then I found a place. I found a place that I could talk about the true and the living God, one faith, one baptism. I don't want anybody to be confused. If you leave here tonight and you're confused about any part of this, come and see me. I'll come to you and bring Bible studies to your house. I'll do it anytime, night or day, whatever is convenient for you. If you need that, I'll be glad to do it. If you think, well, Brother Fry, I think you're about halfway crazy, and I may be. The other half, I'm insane, but that's all right, too. I'm different. I stand out a little bit. Not because I dress different. Not because I spit different, talk different. Not because I don't go to this place or that place, because you'll be surprised what places I'll go to. Brother Fry, I saw you over yonder. Well, judge me then. Before you do, hold your hand up. Let me see the nail scars. You got nail scars in your hands? Judge me. You don't, leave me alone. I can't judge you. It's the Word that judges us. Let the Word judge us. Let the Holy Ghost do all that. That's His job. I'm not smart enough to do His job. I never did claim to be all that bright. No, sir. I know I'm going to stand out because the Lord said He wants me to stand out. He said, I've got a peculiar people. There, years ago, I was a young man. I was probably 12 years old. So I wasn't a young man. I was just a smart aleck little kid, scared to death I was. I'll tell you that for a fact. I was put into a brand new school. My mama had been dead just a short time, and which I put into a foster home, and they put me in a new school, and I started hanging around with these guys. Well, that's all I was allowed to do. I couldn't go anywhere. But in school, I could hang around with these guys. This guy always wore this one button that said, I'm peculiar. It was supposed to say I'm particular, but it was a play on a commercial from television from back in those times. Some people would say they had a button that said I'm particular. And it was talking about a brand of cigarettes. I tell you that straight out, straight up front. I'm particular. But he had got a hold of a button, said I'm peculiar, and he wore it every day to school. And one day, for some reason, I don't know what got us talking. I'd had the Holy Ghost for a few years by then. And we began talking about I'm peculiar, what peculiar was about, and about how God had a peculiar people. He and I became very close. And I saw him again about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. He became a huge guy. He was the fat boy everybody picked on. There ain't too many people picked on him no more. He's a great big guy. He's retired now. He wasn't retired then. He was fixed. He had been the police chief of a particular city there in Three Oaks, Michigan, as a matter of fact, for many, many years. And he retired from that job. Big, and he was tough. But what I remember about him was his little button, his peculiar button. About him, and how we got to talk about how God had a peculiar people. And if he hadn't been wearing that button, I'd have never got to talk to him about that. Here I was, 12 years old, and we began talking about, he even went to church with me a couple times. We went to his house, picked him up, took him to youth service a few times. And that was a wonderful experience for me. I liked my friends to see where I went to church. I wasn't ashamed of it. The name on the church, it said, Jesus Name Pentecostal Church. That's what it said. Jesus Name Pentecostal Church across the front of the church. And I grew up there in that church. And I was glad to show my friends that. We were a little bit different there. People called us holy rollers. They called us Jesus only. But they never knew what we really were. We were people that worshiped the true and living God. We were people that believed in baptism in Jesus' name. We believed in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We believed that we had a God that would carry us through. So we were a peculiar people. We were misunderstood for the most part. We weren't holy rollers. And Brother Grissom, you remember Brother Grissom telling us what holy rollers were? That people woke up, turned the alarm clock off, rolled over on Sunday morning. Yeah, well, really, as I was growing up, people they were talking about as holy rollers, these were people that get a little wild, get a little crazy. You actually see them rolling around on the floor and praising God, doing this and doing that. Some of that may have been real. I don't know. I was a child. I didn't see all that people talked about. I did see a blind woman receive her sight. A woman I knew to be blind. Not just legally blind. She was totally blind. Completely. And when I was 10 years old, I watched her, the look on her face as people laid hands on her, began praying. And I saw the look on her face when she saw colors for the first time, when she began to see for the first time in her entire life. This was not a young woman. Her children were grown. She had grandchildren. She had never seen before her entire life. And she saw colors, vivid colors. And you could see the look on her face, and you knew that wasn't fake. That was a beautiful sight. I got to see that kind of thing. I didn't see the weird stuff people talk about holy rollers and this and that. No, sir, I got to see truth in action. I got to see results of somebody taking care of the tools. Somebody cleaning the nets when they were done. They were different. Like we are. When we get done, we clean our tools. We clean our nets. We wash our nets. We're going to use them again. We're not quitting. We're not quitters, are we? We're net washers. Ooh, Lord, I told you they'd get out before we would. No, I told you we'd get out before they would, didn't I? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Ooh. Now. Those that were obedient to Jesus, even though it wasn't the time to go fishing, it wasn't the place to go fishing, but they listened, they obeyed, they reaped huge benefits. We can do that too. Well, so next time somebody tells you, oh, don't worry about it, you know, we serve the same God. We call him by different names. We're going to the same place, we're just getting there a different direction, a different way. Don't argue with people. You're not going to convince them. It's not worth the argument. You're going to get angry. What you need to do is pray for them. Because they are bound by lies. There's one way. There is one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's one way to heaven, and that's through the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the door. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man. If you can find any other way, you found the wrong direction. So, good thing to start here would be a revival fire. Wouldn't you like to start a revival fire? Well, I tell you what, where did my page go? It went way over here. Yeah. And at the very end, after they received all these blessings through obedience, in verse 11 it said, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I mean, they were done with them nets. Jesus had decided to make them fishers of men. Wouldn't you like to be a fisher of men? Now you can get that hook, you can get that bait, you can cast it and reel it in, cast and reel it, and you'll catch you some fish. If you do it the right time of day and go to the right place and use the right bait. And then you want to have the right fishing line. Somebody showed me a picture one time, a great big catfish they caught. I mean, it was huge. And I knew the record out of Lake Clark up in Ennis, Texas, up in Ellis County, that was a 65-pound catfish. Do you know how big a catfish that is? That's a big old puppy. That's a big old catfish, big enough to eat you. He'd take one bite of you. That's a huge catfish, 65 pounds. He said, well, 65, I weigh, well, anyway, I weigh that. I weigh a lot. I sure enough, I weigh that catfish. But let me tell you something, I'm still scared of that old 65-pound catfish. I am not going to jump in the water and wrestle with him. So I ain't sticking my arm in his mouth to get him up out the water and pull back his stub. Yeah, we had, I got a stepbrother. We call him Nubbins. We call him Nubbins for a reason. Yeah, he's Nubbins. He got nubs now. Yeah, anyway, I won't go into all that, but they weren't going to call me Nubbins. I wasn't jumping in there with that catfish. That's a big old catfish. Sometimes we're not catching what we ought to catch. Sometimes we're not in the place we ought to be. Sometimes it's not the right time of day. Maybe then it's time to change your bait. You ever think about that? There are programs. I'm going to tell you, HYC is one of the greatest programs I've seen for youth. Holiday Youth Convention. You'll find more young people receive the Holy Ghost at Holiday Youth Convention than they ever will in the church. Because it's full of young people seeking the same thing. Well, of one mind and one accord. Just like they were in the upper room back in the early days. Remember? That 120 in the upper room, all 120 got the Holy Ghost that day. And then after that, 3,000 more souls were added that very same day. But you'll see more people at Holiday Youth Convention, more young people at Holiday Youth Convention receive the Holy Ghost than you will in any church. However, sometimes we've got to change our tactics a little bit. Sometimes we've got to change our tools. Sometimes we've got to change our bait. Sometimes we've got to go after something just a little bit differently than we've been doing. You know something? Somebody told me one time, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, you're just not smart enough for the job. You need to change jobs then, because you're just not smart enough for that job. And he was right. Sometimes it's time to change your tactics. Sometimes you got to do something a little bit different. Sometimes, maybe spend a little more time in the prayer room. Uh-oh, did I sneak that in there? We're done. So I can sneak a few things in there. Let's stand. I'll sneak a few things in there. Sometimes we have to spend a little more time in the prayer room to get a different result. If we're getting the same result we've been getting for the last 10 years, change it. Change your tools. Need a little more prayer in our life. Yeah. Maybe we need something different in our life. Praise God. We're worshiping the same God and serving the same God if he's got the same name. Thank you, Jesus. God's good to us. Let's keep our nets clean. Because we want to use them again. Let's clean up our tools. The tools that were so good for us in the beginning. What was the first thing you wanted to do when you got saved? You remember that? When you got the Holy Ghost, first time in your life you ever did, or the first time you ever really repented. What was the first thing you wanted to do? You wanted to tell everybody. You wanted everybody to get a piece of that because it felt so good. Clean those tools back up. Come on, y'all. Let's clean them up. Let's get them ready. Sharpen them up. We want some revival in the land. Yeah, we don't care about no giants walking around. We need some revival. God's in charge. Let's be a little bit obedient, you know. Let's reach out to him. Praise the Lord. We don't have anybody come up and play the piano. I guess we don't need a piano player today. What we need is to know that we can follow Jesus through obedience and win souls. Obedience. There we go. There comes our piano player. I knew she'd come and help us out. She's a good girl, isn't she? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Obedience, much better than sacrifice. Clean up our nets, wash our nets. Let's close our eyes just for a minute.